Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
How many people want to endure to the end? I want to finish this thing, don't you? Finish what God has given me to do in this life. How many of you know He's given us some great things to do? Of course, we don't know it all yet. He only reveals it to us as we need to know. Some folks are blessed with knowing a lot of things ahead of time. They have visions and different things. But most folks, it's just do what you know to do. Just do what's in front of you. Do the last thing the Lord told you to do and be faithful at it. And as we're faithful and as we continue with the Lord, He reveals more and more to us. He adds to it. We begin to see more and more of the big picture, more and more of His plan for our life. And as He shows it to us, we just continue to be faithful, do what He tells us to do. And Jesus said, "He who endures to the end shall be saved." He who endures to the end shall be saved. So it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And we really have to have finishing on the mind. We got to watch about, you know, prematurely patting ourselves too hard on the back. It's all right to encourage yourself and the good things that you've done, the things that you've accomplished and so forth. But, you know, it isn't over till it's over. And we got to realize that we're in this thing for the long haul. And we're going to stay with it all the way to the end. No turning back, no backing down. I'm going to finish what God's called me to do. I'm going to be faithful and true. Faithful and true to the Word. Faithful and true to the Lord. He's been faithful to you. He's been faithful to me. Now we're going to be faithful to Him. And we're talking about faithfulness. We're talking about steadfastness. We're talking about staying with it. Staying with it. The Bible says a faithful man will abound with blessings. Stay with it. Stay with it. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't betray the Lord. Don't turn on Him. We said, never turn on the Lord. Well, watch about turning on His people. Because when we do it unto them, we're doing it unto Him. Right? Because His people are one with Him. So we just want to be faithful. And we never want to betray the Lord, depart from Him. We want to stay faithful all the way to the end. And this is a big deal because there are a lot of people that have not been able to finish what God's called them to do. A lot of folks start out good, start out zealous, and grow in the things of God, grow in the grace of God and so forth, but then they only go so far. And then somewhere along life's journey, they get tripped up. Somewhere along life's journey, they decide they're going to do something else. Or they just decide to quit, they decide to give up, decide to allow themselves to be overcome by the cares of this life, and they don't make it to the end. But we are people that are determined. You got to be determined. You got to be determined that I am going to make it to the end. I'm in this for the long haul. Come hell, come high water. It don't matter what comes my way. I'm not backing down. And I'm not going to quit. By the grace of God, I'm going to stay in this thing. Amen. No matter how it might look. No matter what might show up. We don't know what the future holds. But we know this. I will not quit. I will not back down. I will not give up. Amen. There's a lot of folks, even in Jesus' earthly ministry, they came out and they followed Him. And they were excited about Him. They sacrificed some things to be able to follow Him. They didn't have the kind of modern conveniences that you and I enjoy today. So to be able to go to the Lord's meetings and to follow Him around, I mean, they were greatly inconvenienced. And in a lot of cases, you know, they put their lives on the line to do it. And we see that in the Word of God. There's a lot of folks, they started out well with the Lord, but then somewhere along the line, they quit. They gave up. They didn't continue with Him. We see that over in John chapter 6. We're talking about not quitting. We're talking about not giving up. We're talking about staying in it. Staying in it with God. Staying in His plan. All the way to the end. Devil's not taking me out. He said, he's not taking me out. I remember years back, you know, it was like right around the time I had just moved here. I heard the Lord speak to me as I was half awake, half asleep, and I heard these words come to me. And it was the words of Jesus, words that he spoke at, you know, in the Word of God. But these words came to me. I heard them. And it was, nobody takes my life from me. Nobody takes my life from me, but I lay it down. And so, you know, that just stayed with me. I know the Lord put that in my heart, that no matter what kind of thing comes, nothing takes my life from me. Nobody can take me out of the plan of God for my life. Nobody, nothing. And that's just my attitude. So it doesn't matter what kind of fearful things, what kind of threatening things might arise in the days to come. I know this. Nobody and nothing is going to take me out of my place in God's plan for my life. I'm going to stay with it all the way to the end. Aren't you glad we could say that boldly and confidently? We can do it. We can do it by faith. We can do it. But we see that this is a big deal. Because as we look in the Word of God, we see that there were so many started out well but didn't finish. Over here in John 6, in verse 64, but there are some of you, Jesus said, who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Now notice, they were called disciples. These weren't just people that were just casual spectators. He said, not only did the spectators turn away and not follow him anymore, you know, a lot of folks got disappointed. Jesus started saying some things that really tested their hearts, really tested their commitment to him, to God. And after saying some of those things, he lost a whole bunch of folks. But it's in this verse right here, verse 66 in John 6, 66. From that time, many of his disciples, these are folks that disciplined themselves to know the Lord, to walk with the Lord, to be conformed to the Lord. They were disciples, but yet it says many. Everybody say many. So this wasn't just a couple of folks. Many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. So they went so far with the Lord, but then they didn't continue with the Lord all the way to the end. And I'd imagine if you were able to look back into the history of these disciples, you would find that they loved the Lord, they were excited about the Lord, they were talking to one another about the great things that God is doing. Did you see that miracle? Did you see what he did? I'm sure they went home many, many, many a times, just thrilled, just excited, talking about the great things of God, taking notes in this meeting, writing down some of the things he was talking about. They wanted to retain his teachings. They were his disciples. These were not just casual people. They had a lot invested in following him. And yet at some point, they turned on him and turned away from him. And then in verse 67, it says, then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? And then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Now I'm sure, you know, they were just as perplexed as the rest of the disciples in some of the things Jesus was talking about. And a lot of folks, because they didn't understand what he was talking about, they got offended. And they didn't follow him anymore. But here, his 12 looked at him and said, Lord, basically what they said was, Lord, we don't understand a thing you're saying, but we know you got the words of eternal life. And what? We're with you for the long haul. We're with you to the end. And you think about it. Here, they've got all these disciples that they were associating with, they were hanging out with, and all these people left. Think of the kind of doubts and unbelief. Think of the kind of feelings they were feeling at that moment. I mean, sometimes you just got to put yourself in there. It's easy to just read a verse or two and keep moving. But you really put yourself in there and you see, you know, what was going through the minds of these disciples, right? And you know, the devil was there harassing them, speaking things to them. And that's why I believe Jesus turned to them and said, you guys want to go too? Because he saw that they were going through this. But praise God, they reached down deeper than just their superficial thoughts that they were having. They reached down deeper, and on the inside, they knew that they knew that they knew that stay with him. He's got the words of eternal life. Amen. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. They had that. They reached down into that commitment. And it's so important, you know, because you and I have a commitment on the inside of us to follow the Lord. And we got to watch about becoming superficial in life and taking in all kinds of thoughts that are coming to our mind that are contrary to the convictions of our heart. Because there's been a lot of people that they left what was in their heart and followed the strong reasonings of their mind. So we have to guard ourselves from that. When confusion tries to come in and doubts try to arise in life, you've just got to sink down and come down here into your heart and just keep it simple. If you stay with your heart, the answers are very simple. But if you get up here and you reason with things and reason things, it's going to get more and more complex. You'll get more and more confused, and doubt can end up causing you to go out of God's plan and purpose for your life. We see in Matthew 26, Jesus is there in the garden, and the disciples were so zealous. They told him, Lord, we'd never betray you. We would never forsake you. But then a real serious trial came. And in Matthew 26, in 56, all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all his disciples forsook him and fled. All of them. So before in John 6, many of them. Now all of them. They all left Jesus at this point. Now thank God. Man, these disciples, these 12, these 11, were redeemed, and they found their way back to the Lord. But they did forsake him. They did leave him at that point. And like I said, thank God they found their way back. Some folks never find their way back. But thank God for those that come to their senses and come back and end up being stronger than they were before. Then over in Colossians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, he saw a lot of people that were excited about the Lord, excited about Paul, excited about his ministry. And they had followed him very faithfully for a long period of time. But yet, Paul began to see the same thing. He saw people go so far, even very far, but not all the way to the end. How many people know Paul went all the way to the end? You know, if Paul went all the way to the end, the rest of them could have gone all the way to the end. Those that worked with Paul, they all could have gone all the way to the end. You and I can go all the way to the end. If Paul can do it, I can do it. Because it's all by faith. It's all by the grace of God. Keeping our eyes on him. But notice this here. Colossians chapter 4 and in verse 14, Paul writes, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Nymphis and the church that is in his house. All right, so Paul makes this statement, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. So he's very close, obviously, with Luke and Demas because, you know, he's putting them in his letter right here. And then you go to Philemon. But over here in Philemon, in verse 23, Paul writes, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. So again, he closes out another letter by mentioning Luke and Demas, and he adds, my fellow laborers. You can just hear that these guys are with me in the trenches. These guys are with me out on the battlefield. These are fellow laborers, faithful laborers with me. And then we come over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And in verse 9, Paul writes, be diligent to come to me quickly. He's writing to Timothy. Come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Notice that. Demas has forsaken me. This was his fellow laborer. This was someone that was in the trenches with him. But now Demas is gone. And then you come over to Acts chapter 13. How many people know those things are not written in the Bible by accident? They're there to show us something. They're there to show us something. Demas was close to the Apostle Paul. They shared a lot of things together, a lot of experiences together out on the missionary field. I mean, they went through a lot of things together, stood up for each other, fought the good fight of faith for each other, had some real close personal moments together. Demas was on fire for God. To be that close to the Apostle Paul, to serve right there like a right-hand man with Luke. And yet, it doesn't end good for him. He started out so good, went so far, achieved such greatness in the kingdom of God. But then, somewhere along the line, maybe they were going through a city, and he started looking at things he shouldn't have been looking at and started getting pulled and drawn towards the things of this world. And then suddenly his love for the world is greater than his love for the Lord. His love for the word, his love for the Apostle Paul. And he leaves him having loved this present world, living for this life. Or maybe it was just he feared for his life. He feared for his life in this world because, how many of you know, Paul went into some pretty dangerous places. Right? He was constantly taking his life in his hand. And so Demas thought, I got to save my life. I keep following him. I might get killed. And so he loved this present life, this present world, more than the world to come, more than the spirit world, more than God's world. And that's probably more of what happened there. But over here in Acts chapter 13, and in verse 13, it says, now when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Now John was also, his name was also Mark. And here, John, it says very casually that he departed from Paul. Then you come over to Acts, the 15th chapter. In verse 37, now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark. And this is the same John we just read about who departed from Paul. He went back home. They're out there on the missionary field. And John took off, man. John said, I'm going home. And he left. Now, you know, Barnabas was a huge part in Paul's life. I mean, he helped Paul really get established in the church. Paul was right there with him. And I mean, they went out and they pioneered churches together. They went out there, blazed the trail together, worked so hard together. I mean, just loved the Lord, loved each other. And now it says in verse 37, now Barnabas was determined, or he had resolved, my margin says, to take with them John called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. That's an important statement right there. Being commended by, in other words, he had the blessing of the church. Paul did. Barnabas didn't. And you never hear from Barnabas again. And meanwhile, Barnabas has been very much a part of the book of Acts up to this point. But you never hear from him again because he made the wrong decision. He had resolved he was going to do it his way, but Paul was following that conviction. Paul was doing what was right. And again, Paul had the greater grace upon his life. Paul was really the leader in this relationship, in this partnership in ministry. And yet, Barnabas didn't respect it anymore and departed from him. So again, that must have been a tough thing. Paul sees Barnabas depart. John departed from them, and then Barnabas wants to bring John with him, and he ends up going with John. I feel bad for him. I mean, and he followed the flesh, and he departed from Paul also. He didn't stay with it to the end. And then you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. How many want some more good news? There's a purpose. It's a purpose. God's helping us. He's going to help us to be steadfast, to be able to endure all the way to the end. Amen. He's got an answer for us. He's got a help for us on how we can stay with it all the way to the end. No fear of not finishing. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and in verse 19, Paul concluding his letter here, the churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. And notice that, verse 19, the churches of Asia greet you. The churches of Asia greet you. Praise the Lord. Let's go back to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1. And notice here in verse 15. This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me. Now we just saw that Paul said, all the churches of Asia greet you. Amen. I mean, it was a significant thing. He wrote it down in the Word of God. All the churches of Asia greet you. And now, sadly, he has to write, all in Asia. All those in Asia have turned away from me. They've all turned away from him. Obviously, worried about their own lives. See, it's important that we don't love our lives so much that we turn away from the Lord. That no matter what we're faced with, we would rather die than turn away from the Lord. We'd rather die than deny the Lord. We'd rather die than quit. Right? Why? Because there's more to our lives than the death of this life. And we understand that. Come on, somebody. I want to go into heaven with a good testimony. Don't you? I want to go into heaven with a good testimony. So I'd rather die on this side and live for all eternity with a good testimony than to save my life, turn away from the plan and purpose of God for my life, turn away from those that God has vitally connected me with, deny them, reject them, come over here, love my life, save myself so I can live a few more years down here and then live with a disgraceful record throughout all eternity. See, we have to value eternal life more than this earthly life. That's a big part of being able to make it all the way to the end, to be able to endure all the way to the end. Notice here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. At my first defense, no one stood with me. Everybody say no one. Now he had a lot of folks that he had won to the Lord, that had gotten saved. There were people that were already saved that just hooked up with him, served with him in the ministry. And here he writes, no one. No one stood with me to defend me. May it not be charged against them. Because he understands this stuff's being recorded. This stuff's being written down in heaven. And we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Forget about standing before Caesar. Forget about standing before some human court of persecutors that are threatening our life in this world. We're going to stand before the judge of all creation someday. And that's why Paul, it's real to him. And he says, may it not be charged against them. Because this will come up again. And they'll be sorry that they did this. Verse 17, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. How many of you know back then they started throwing Christians to the lions? Well, apparently Paul was to be thrown to the lions. Perhaps he was thrown to the lions. We don't know the details. But he was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. So he was probably one of those in the Roman Colosseum. And then he writes over in Philippians 2, verse 19, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one. Everyone say no one. I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Christ Jesus. There's a lot of folks, he's saying here, that their motives are selfish, even though they're serving in ministry. Although they're sharing the gospel with people. He says a lot of it, really all of it, is just self-seeking. Just selfishness. Their motives are wrong. They're all seeking their own. They're all seeking how this benefits them. But Paul says, I got Timothy. But of course, he's the only one that I got who's like-minded. So we see from all these examples just how serious it is to be steadfast and to stay with the Lord all the way to the end. I mean, it's something. We read this, we look at these examples to help wake us up and to realize, hey, these were good folks. Some of these folks were more zealous for the Lord than I currently am. And yet, they didn't make it. They didn't finish what God had begun in their life. They didn't let him finish. They didn't run their course all the way to the end. And if they didn't make it, then there's the possibility that I might not make it. And so it has to sober us up, and we have to realize I have to take making it all the way to the end very serious. Because if these people can get tripped up, I can get tripped up. So that means I have to heed these warnings and purpose with all my heart, with all my might, I'm going to finish. I'm going to finish. By the grace of God, I'm going to finish. And the Lord has given me some points, some keys, some steps that we can take to help us finish and to remain steadfast all the way to the end. How many people want to last? Huh? Then you got to be steadfast. Right? We want to last. The steadfast last. And so what can we do to be steadfast? Well, you ready? We got some things we can do. We can work in our life on a regular basis that'll help us to stay with the Lord, stay with His plan, stay with His church, stay with His people, stay with the work He's given us to do all the way to the end. And again, you might not know much of what He has for you to do. I don't either. It's just piece by piece. I don't get anxious about what I don't know. I got enough to do that I know to do. I don't need to be worrying about 10 years from now. I don't need to be worrying about a year from now. I'm just going to do what's on my plate right now. So let's go here to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. What can we do to be steadfast and last? Endure all the way to the end. Psalm 51. In verse 10. Now, of course, this is written from King David, written by King David. And it was after that he had fallen into sin. Actually, if you go back there to verse 1, if you go back to the heading, it says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. So he has committed adultery, and now his sin has been exposed to him. He sees what he's done, and he begins to repent and cry out to God in this psalm. Psalm 51, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. How many of you know David, who started out awesome, right? Killed a giant, did great things for God. I mean, turned the nation Israel into a superpower. I mean, subdued all the surrounding nations. I mean, people were terrified. All the enemies were terrified of David. He was a man after God's own heart, the Bible says. And yet, David almost lost it. He almost came to a place where he departed from the Lord. Sin had come into his life and had completely messed him up. So that one sin, the sin of adultery, led to another sin, the sin of murder. And there was all kinds of lying and all kinds of things going on. David was becoming corrupted so fast by the sin that he had yielded himself to. It was beginning to completely corrupt him from the inside out, destroy his reasoning. And there's been a lot of folks, I've seen people, I mean, so anointed, so full of God. So full of God. And then they commit the same kind of sin. Fall into an adulterous sin. Get into sexual immorality. And I mean, next thing you know, you can't even recognize them. I mean, they just become twisted in their thinking. And they're just not right anymore. You wouldn't even want to spend 5 minutes listening to them. When at one time, you used to want to get to their meetings. Couldn't wait to listen to it. They were so full of God, so full of the anointing of God. Sin can destroy you. It'll corrode you. It'll eat you up from the inside out, turn you into something that you never thought you would ever become if you give into it. But thank God David had confidence in the mercy of God, and thank God for the prophet Nathan that had the boldness to go in there. and expose David's sin to him. Because David, he was in such denial, he could have had Nathan killed just like he had Bathsheba's husband killed. I mean, he's not in his right mind. But thank God, Nathan took his place in God, and rather fearing for his life, he risked his life and said it like it was to the king. And thank God, it arrested David's attention. It arrested his heart, and David fell down, and he repented. And he cried out to God, and he was restored. I said he was restored. Amen. Now, he had some hard times after that, because there were some curses that came into his family, some curses that came upon his kingdom as a result of his sin. But oh, thank God, we have something today that David didn't have. And that's Galatians 3:13. Christ not only has taken our sins, but Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He's redeemed us from the curses that will come as a result of sin. That's how much God wants you and I to make it. That's how much he wants you and I to finish strong. Amen? But David, he was forgiven. And because he repented. And he said in verse 10 again, create in me a clean heart, O God. Number one, keeping yourself steadfast all the way to the end. Keep a clean heart. Keep a clean heart. How do you do that? Well, of course, you follow the convictions of your heart. You follow the convictions of your heart. Don't violate your conscience. Don't violate your heart. But if you do, confess it. Because he says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. If you have missed it, and it doesn't have to be to the level that David missed it, you might have just missed it in some wrong motives, a wrong attitude. Want a clean heart more than anything else. If you want to make it to the end, you want to make it to the end, then you need to want to have a clean heart just as much as you want to make it to the end. How do you do that? Follow the convictions of your heart. Don't violate your conscience. But if you do, confess it. Confess it to God and let him wash you clean just like he said he would. Keep your heart tender. Keep your heart clean. So he says, cleanse my heart. Cleanse my heart. Again, this is all part of renewing a steadfast spirit. Everybody says steadfast. The steadfast last. It's the steadfast that last. It's the steadfast that finish. Right? Renew a steadfast spirit within me. How? What does he say in the same verse? Create in me a clean heart. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And then verse 11, do not cast me away from your presence. So number two, keep his presence on your life. We should be not only growing in faith, but growing in the presence of God. God's presence needs to be getting stronger and stronger on our life. God's presence shouldn't just be something that is there when we minister to others. God's presence isn't something that should just be there when we come to church. We need to walk in the presence of God. Wear it like clothing. Wear it like clothing. You want God's presence. Look for God's presence. Desire God's presence. So much of the church world that will not make it to the end. So much of the church world that is just in it for themselves, seeking their own. So much of that church world is so disinterested in the presence of God. They've got the word. They've got doctrine. They've got teaching. They don't have his presence. They don't have any anointing on their life. Except sometimes when they get up and preach, there's an anointing. Because God anoints preaching, you know. But they don't walk in the presence of God. In fact, many go so far as to mock it and criticize it. Right? And demonize it. But you and I want to have his presence. David coveted the presence of God. That's what caused him to do the great things he did. That's what caused him to get as far as he did. That's what caused him to be able to rebound from this gross sin that had devastated his heart. It's what caused him to be able to come back and make a good ending. Amen? And then he says, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Again, this is all part of renewing in me a steadfast spirit. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Again, number three, you got to keep fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. Keep fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. Speak with him. Commune with him. Talk with him. Build your relationship with him. Don't ignore him. Become comfortable walking with the Holy Spirit. If your relationship with the Holy, it is your relationship with the Holy Spirit that will give you the confidence you need in life, knowing that he is there with you. That's what's going to help you get through tough times. That's what's going to help you to overcome in life. That's what Paul said. All have forsaken me, but the Lord didn't forsake me. The Lord, who the Lord? Lord, the Holy Spirit. That's who didn't forsake him. He was still with him. And then in Romans chapter 12, in verse 10, he says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. We're talking about being steadfast. If we're going to be steadfast in life, steadfast in fulfilling the plan of God for our life, then, man, we're going to have to be steadfast in prayer. What do you mean? We're going to have to keep praying. Don't allow your prayer life to get off track. If your prayer life gets off track and you're just not taking time to pray, you're already in trouble. We got to realize that. Prayer is not a little supplement to my Christian life. It's praying that keeps me having a Christian life. Remember, he said over in James chapter 1, he says that we're to ask without doubting. Of course, asking God for something without doubting is praying, right? He says, but let him ask, or we can say let him pray in faith, not doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, tossed and driven. Let not that man suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. Why? He's a double-minded man, watch this, unstable in all his ways. Notice that. How you pray will determine how you are in life. If your prayer life is a double-minded prayer life, you're on, you're off, sometimes you pray, sometimes you don't pray, then the Bible says, you're going to be unstable in all your ways. It's going to affect every area of your life. Every area of your life is going to be affected. How you are in prayer is how you will be everywhere. That's how it works. And you got to understand that. This is serious business. Are you serious about ending? You want to stand there at the end and say, I've run my race. I finished my course. No one took my life from me. Nothing stopped me. Right? Nothing stopped. I mean, Paul was stoned to death, but he got back up. He was beaten to the point where most people would die from the beating, but he got back up. Why? Because nobody takes my life from me. I'll lay it down when I'm done. That's exactly what he did. I'm not done yet. I'm not done. Now, if you're done, go home. Go be with Jesus. Why would you want to stay here? But if you're not done, then you stay with it all the way to the end. And if we're going to stay with it all the way to the end, then we're going to stay with a real consistent prayer life. We're going to continue in prayer. We're going to be steadfast concerning prayer. Let's go back again to verse 10, because all of everything I just read there really is all a part of helping us to be steadfast and to stay with it in life. So number 4, keep praying. But then notice this again, verse 10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. We need to be affectionate. We need to be affectionate to one another. We can't allow ourselves to become hard and cold and indifferent to other people. There's a lot of things going on in the world to desensitize people to people. A lot going on. A lot I can say about that. So we got to guard our hearts from being desensitized. We got to guard our hearts from becoming indifferent towards others. We've got to stir up the love of God that's in our heart for others and be affectionate. Not just have this love on the inside of us, but to actually reach out. Be hospitable. We did a whole series on this. This love, this affectionate love, this reaching out, being hospitable, inviting people into your home, being involved in people's lives. It's an important part to keeping your heart tender and right so that you can stay steadfast in the plan of God for your life. And then he goes on, he says, in honor, giving preference to one another. Giving preference to one another. In other words, don't just always think about yourself and promoting yourself and your own prosperity and promotion in life. Look to promote and lift up others. Get a vision for other people's lives. I want to see you succeed. I'll be honest with you. You hear a lot of this in the body of Christ, and I'll just wash your brain with it right now with the truth. Wash your mind. Brainwash you. But, you know, a lot of folks say, hey, thanks for coming out and supporting my meeting. You know, you guys need to come on Wednesday night because, you know, you need to support what I'm doing. No, you need to come out here so you can get help. I'm not looking for anybody's support. The Lord's right here. And he's got his hand. He loves me, see. And I'm really content with it. So you not showing up doesn't give me a complex. Thanks for supporting the meeting. I didn't come to support your meeting. I came to get help from God. And I would expect that from you too. That you're coming to receive from the Lord, to get what you need from God. Not to support me. It's ridiculous. So we're not looking just to promote ourselves. We're looking to promote and lift up others. We're looking to help others. Can you say amen? Amen. You know, if you're always thinking about yourself, that's depressing. Depressing people don't make it. You can't be depressed and finish your race. You're not going to do it. Paul said he ran his race with joy. You need joy. You need to be excited. You need to be happy. If you're depressed, you're not going to make it. So stop loving yourself so much that you're so worried about yourself and promoting yourself and wanting to have and get. Start thinking about giving and blessing and helping and raising other people up and pulling people up. Praise God. Get them to fulfill their purpose, their plan for their life, and it'll be a blessing to you in the end. Can you say amen? And then, in honor, giving preference to one another, verse 11, not lagging in diligence. That's another one. Number 7, be diligent. Be diligent. Number 6 is look to promote and lift up others. Number 5 is be affectionate. Number 4 is keep praying. Number 7, be diligent. Be diligent. Get those things done that you know to get done. Procrastination causes people to feel backed up. You keep procrastinating, and then it's like things just get backed up, and then you become overwhelmed. And then it's too overwhelming to do anything, and so you quit. Because you didn't do the few little things. Now your soul's gotten all overwhelmed. Think, my God, there's just so many things I haven't done, so many things to do, and you just get overwhelmed. And you end up not doing anything. Anybody ever experienced that before? I would think we probably all have. So be diligent. Be diligent. It'll keep you from being overwhelmed so that you want to, so that you feel like you can't finish. I can't do it. And you quit. No, be diligent. Do the things you know to do. Let's get it done. I said, let's get it done. Turn to somebody and say, get it done. Yeah, that's right. Go home and get that thing done. Why not? Stop procrastinating. And then, number 8, he says, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. What does that mean? Stay fired up about serving God. Stay fired up about serving God. Watch about just doing it to do it because this is what you've always done. Yes, I'm an usher. I've been ushering since 1963. This is what I do. Everything becomes a job. You know? It's just something we just do. We lose the fire. If you lose the fire, you've lost it. You're not going to finish. If you're going to finish, you got to stay fired up. If you're going to finish fulfilling the plan of God for your life, you got to stay fired up about the plan of God for your life. You got to remind yourself, woohoo, I get to serve the Lord. I get to serve the Lord. This is awesome. I get to do things for God today. Hallelujah. Of course, the Bible says, do all things as unto the Lord. So get excited. Go out there and do it unto the Lord. Be fired up about it. Don't always be looking to get out of work. Trying to find a way out. Huh? We should be looking to get in right in the smack in the middle of it. Turn up the heat. Can you say amen? All right. And then he says, after being fervent, being fired up in spirit, serving the Lord, verse 12, rejoicing in hope. Rejoicing in hope. So number 9, rejoice. When was the last time you rejoiced really good?
The last time you told us to, Pastor.
Always be looking for an excuse to rejoice. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Praise God. I'm giving you an excuse right now. Praise God! Hallelujah! Oh, glory to God. Let rejoicing come easy for you. Stay in the rejoicing mode. Amen. Celebrating Jesus. Celebrating God. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Rejoice in hope. Patient in tribulation. What do you mean? Be patient in the tough times. Know that you're coming through. You're coming through. A lot of times people get into tough places and you can't see. Many times you get in, I'm right there with you. You get into a tribulation, you get into a trial, you get into something that's just screaming. It's hard to see very far. It could feel hopeless and dark and like it's going to stay like this. We're going to go under. But it's in times like that, you just got to stay patient, knowing we're coming through this. I'm not going to make any rash moves, any rash decisions in a trial. I'm just going to be patient and stay put. Because this too shall pass. Huh? This too shall pass. Can you say amen? The word patience means to endure, which means it's the ability or strength to continue or last. Especially despite fatigue, stress, or other adverse conditions. It's stamina. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you right now, it's when you stay in there through the trials and tests of life by not making rash decisions. That's what a lot of people do. They get under pressure and it's been too long. I can't. And they make a rash decision and they get right out of God's plan for their life. No, just be patient. Stay put. Don't do very much in a trial. Don't do very much in a trial. Just stay with it. And it's through that enduring, going through that time of fatigue and stress, experience those adverse conditions, that it's going to cause you to mature and grow and come out of it stronger than when you went into it. Because it's those who endure who mature. If you're going to mature spiritually, then you better endure in trials and tests. Can you say amen? Oh, glory to God. And then I've got a few more, which we don't have time for tonight. But we got some good stuff to come back to next week, Lord willing. Can you say amen? Glory to God. How many people getting stirred up? You got to stir yourself up. Glory. We can do this. Yes, we can. We got the Holy Spirit, and we can get it done. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet and thank the Lord with me tonight.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.